Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200. Bosky Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. We're joined in studio by another one of our sponsors, Dave and Holly Slade with Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are a sponsor. You'll hear me do a live read here in a couple more segments, but Holly Slade is with us. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
You know, I'm always good when I see you because you know so much about business. You know all about what is happening with homeless youth in our city and people that don't have food. And some of the topics are sad, but there's so much hope, and that's why I like to talk to you about it.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate that.
Hey, let's start off and talk, because a lot of what you do with Feed New Mexico Kids is dependent upon what you do in the real estate business, and you're doing really well right now. I understand you're selling homes as fast as you can list them.
A lot of homes are selling in hours or day one, well, day zero, as we call it in MLS, or day one, day two. Interestingly enough, still in the city, the average days on market is hovering, you know, between 20 and 22. So there can sometimes be this interesting mindset where people say, well, it didn't sell in the first week. What's wrong with it? Well, you know, nothing's wrong with it. But yeah, there are very popular price ranges, you know. So our average price in New Mexico hovers between that 250 and 275 mark. Our median price is around 300, 305. And if you compare that to Denver, Denver has a median price of 5 and some change, 510, 505. So in terms of other people moving here, they think that our market is very, very affordable. For locals, we're not used to kind of this runaway price bidding war that Phoenix and Denver and Vegas and California and almost all of the major metro areas around us have been in this type of market for a long time. And so we have had inventory shortage for the last 2 years, but this year is really that year where we're taking off into those crazy bidding wars and people buying above appraised value and having to bridge the gap at closing with cash.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about how to rephrase one of my questions, and it's this. If you are a person that's considering selling their house and you hear all this great news, oh, homes are not on the market, you might have in your mind, maybe I should sell this myself. But there's a lot of things you need to protect yourself from, especially when you have multiple offers coming
right,
in.
Right, yeah. And savvy sellers know that. They understand that they really don't have the expertise to weed through 10 offers that are coming in and understand the nuances between what makes these 10 offers similar and what makes them different. And also asking questions about, you know, are these reputable lenders? Does anybody know who these lenders are? How you ask the appropriate question of a lender if you're trying to get information about a buyer. Because as you know, Jim, lenders have confidentiality regulations. And you can't just call a lender and say, well, how much money do they earn and what is their credit score? Once upon a time, we used to be able to ask their credit score, but we can't anymore. So there are nuanced ways that you can get information from a lender that follows regulations and then helps you understand which buyer might be better able to withstand an unforeseen circumstance and get successfully to the closing table. Because there are buyers who are, you know, by the time they found the house, they've stretched on their price range, then they've bid the house up, then to compete, they decided to bridge some of the difference with cash. And if one thing goes wrong in their life in the next 30 to 45 days during the escrow period, they won't be able to close. Mm. And those are the kind of the nuanced things that you really do need an expert to come in and advise you. And then the other thing is real estate is one of the most litigious industries there is next to healthcare. And so people can sometimes think they got successfully through a for sale by owner only to a year or two later find out they're being sued. And they said something they should not have said. And there are all kinds of subjective questions that can go on between a buyer and a seller. If you think about the average seller trying to show their home, you know, they're walking through and they're trying to sell its benefits and, you know, talk about everything that's wonderful about the home. And the buyer can ask a question or two that the seller might answer off the top of their head, not trying to deceive, but the information is in error. And then, lo and behold, you know, the buyer comes along and gets the information and sues the seller.
And you show sellers how to dot their I's, cross their T's, do the proper disclosures, do everything correctly so they avoid that down the road.
Right. You know, when I first started 20 years ago in real estate, the purchase agreement was 6 pages long. Now it's 14 pages long, and there's a whole host of addendums that come with it, mainly born out of litigation. And so by the time you get a complete offer package, depending on if it has well or septic, you're talking about anywhere from 23 to 35 pages of documents that are written by attorneys. And they have, you know, they have the backing of attorneys of, no, you don't fill it in this way, you fill it in that way. You know, that's not what this paragraph means. It means that. And so, you know, if you're just trying to do kind of a spit in a handshake or a document that you've pulled off the internet, sellers are really the ones that are most vulnerable. Rarely do sellers go back and sue buyers. It's buyers who sue sellers.
Why in the world is the market so hot?
It is a perfect storm. Honestly, it's just a perfect storm. So COVID did an interesting thing. When the factories shut down and window production stopped and some lumber production stopped and all kinds of production stopped, new builds stopped. So you've got a 6 to 8 month window where there was no new builds happening. Well, now that the builders have said, oh, okay, we're ready to start building again, what we've got is the factories trying to ramp up production. I mean, if you try and order some of these things, I think you were talking about, what was the wait time for windows when you wanted
like
some?
9 or 12 weeks now for windows.
Yeah, so the new builds are dealing with that, and also tremendous price increases. The cost of lumber went up 118%. So if you're a production builder like a Pulte or a D.R. Horton or something like that, and you bought and developed your land based on a certain price range with natural inflation built in, and then you shut down for COVID and you open back up and certain parts of your, you know, I mean, basic materials like lumber have gone up 118%, you're in a little bit of a pickle. And so there can be a tendency to wait for those prices to come down. Well, so then what we have happening too is in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, our metro area, we have had a shortage of inventory for the past 3 years. This year it happened to reach an all-time low. So between no new builds and a reduction in resale inventory, we have a buyer pool that now has a scarcity of inventory. And so there's feeding frenzies going on, especially in, you know, the gap of average price range. Below 200,000, you can see 30 to 45 showings on a home over the weekend and maybe 10 to 16 offers on it. When you get into the average price range, you can see between 4 and 8 offers on the home. And even up in the price range above $500,000, which $500,000 used to kind of define heading into our luxury market here in Albuquerque, which is very different than California or Phoenix or Texas or even Denver. That used to take much longer. You used to, you know, just assume that a $500,000 house in Albuquerque Metro was going to take 6 months to sell. Now it'll be in those shorter time frames with multiple offers again. So it's just it's a whole different market right now. Even in the our highest end luxury market, we had a house on the market in the $2 million range back in 16, and at that time there was a 23-year supply of homes in the $2 million range. We've got one on the market right now, and there's a one-year supply of homes in the $2 million range.
I guess we need a few more $2 million homes. I don't know who buys those, but
we have a few folks around town. We have a few folks. And, you know, it's just really interesting because we have technically a net zero growth. We have Californians coming in. We actually even have Colorado refugees, as they're calling them. You know, they've just been priced out of Colorado, and they're sort of looking at Albuquerque, that we're not as crowded as the Denver market, and the weather is, you know, more pleasant than Phoenix. We still have all four seasons. And so they're coming down here, finding our prices very attractive. and they're used to the Denver market bidding, and so they bid differently than locals would bid. And then what we've got with locals is they're sort of afraid to sell their home because they're afraid they won't be able to buy the next home. And so they get into a pickle of not being able to sell. So if they're in a financial position where they need the equity out of the home they live in order to buy the next home, the competition is preventing them from entering the market because right now people are not generally taking contingent offers. So you've got people who would like to move, but they can't because they can't compete in this market.
We're going to weave a lot of this real estate stuff in and between talking about Feed New Mexico Kids, because there are two people that I know named Holly Slade, and she's sitting right in front of me. So I want you to tell us first about, tell us about Holly Slade, the realtor businesswoman.
Well, Holly Slade, realtor businesswoman, I mean, that's been the majority of my life. You know, my early career was in contracting, hospital contracting and negotiation, and I'm actually a certified negotiator. You know, people tease that I probably should have been an attorney. I mean, I really enjoy contracts. I enjoy negotiations. I enjoy closing open doors so that nobody can get angry at one another after, you know, don't close the gate after the horse has left, you know, close it before the horse gets out. And so I really enjoy that aspect. People think that real estate is all about, you know, the beauty of the house and that, which I enjoy also. I mean, Dave and I flip properties. We've flipped probably 30 homes in the past few years, and I do most of the design and I do all of the staging. And so I enjoy the artistic part, and I appreciate a home for its functionality. And so when a buyer comes, I really do spend a lot of time listening to what it is they want. And the same thing when I'm visiting with sellers, you know, I'm listening to what is it that they enjoyed about this home most. And there's just, there's a puzzle going on in my brain at all times, both, you know, the realtor negotiator, the contract person, the person who knows a little bit about construction, but, you know, I can't overstep my bounds there because I'm not the licensed contractor. That's Dave. And then also just bringing a house into its best. There's a certain way that feels good for furniture to be arranged. And basically with life, if we have a large family, we end up bringing in additional furniture to accommodate our large family. But when you're showing a home for photography, that all has to be reworked and redone.
Holly Slade, founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, in my opinion, has the same advocacy that you have for your real estate clients. You have the same advocacy for children who don't have food on the weekends.
I do. That just breaks my heart, Jim. I mean, I fell into that information, if you remember. I just stumbled across it, that New Mexico was leading the nation in childhood hunger. And I just thought, how can that possibly be? You know, you expect that in inner city areas. And I just didn't really understand how that could be in New Mexico, especially when we have all this dirt where you could actually just grow food. But it is what it is. And so I kept just thinking and praying about it, thinking somebody needed to do something about this. And you know how the Lord works. You think that long enough and you pray about something and you noodle on it, and you're the one that the Lord has picked to do something about it. And so we started Feed New Mexico Kids, and actually Calvary was the pilot. And I just wrote a proposal, and the executive team and Skip said, well, let's try it. Let's see if it works. And so we tried it, and it worked really well. And then other churches came on board, and before you know it, you know, here we are doing, you know, 86,000 snack packs for students during a pandemic. You know, yeah. We actually doubled last year. So we concentrate on the weekend, because most of the students that we serve are in the Title I nutrition system. They're either getting Title I lunch, or sometimes if they're extra, you know, lucky, they're getting Title I breakfast and lunch. And but then the weekend comes along and they simply don't have enough food to get through the weekend. We had third graders that on their health checks were losing 2 pounds over the weekend. And that's just too high of a body mass percentage for somebody little to be losing over the weekend.
We had Dustin King, who works closely with kind of helping you coordinate Feed New Mexico Kids at Legacy Church. And right. Dustin told me something that was kind of disturbing. He said, you know, teachers, there's some programs and things that they mm-hmm. can depend upon, but sometimes they can't take any action because that third grader you just mentioned hadn't lost quite enough weight to qualify. That is just shocking to me. But of course, you don't have that criteria. If somebody wants food, they get food.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it is Feed New Mexico Kids. And so we focus on the children. And part of the reason we do that is because I've been involved in food bank ministry over the years for a long time. And I've seen, you know, a lot of times when we mean well and we're donating from our pantry, the food doesn't go together to make a meaningful meal. What are you supposed to do when you have a package of spaghetti and a box of stuffing? Mm. You know, you can't take that home. And yet in a food bank situation, you can only work with what is given. And I'm talking about the smaller food banks, places like Roadrunner. I mean, they order food by the ton, obviously, and serve the whole state. But part of what I noticed, too, was parents were our student population has caregivers that run the gamut, from drug addicts that would take a bag of spaghetti and go return it for store credit at the store to try and buy alcohol, to, you know, really hardworking single moms or grandparents that are taking care of more children than they can afford to take care of, and they just need some help. So we have absolutely no judgment on what the child's circumstance is, because mm-hmm. the child didn't get them there to begin with. And it doesn't matter to a hungry child how they got there. Was it a drug addicted parent or was it, you know, somebody hardworking? Doesn't matter. Bottom line is the child is hungry. And so we work with the school system to get then the food to the child directly. And sometimes it bypasses a parent's knowledge. There was one little girl who was intentionally being starved by her legal guardians. And the child was turned into, you know, Health and Human Services, but it takes a while. You know, children don't get removed overnight unless there's been heinous, you know, physical abuse that, you know, criminal investigation is involved and all of that. But if it's an ongoing abuse situation, it can take some time for that investigation to take place. Well, finally, the little girl was removed from her home. And when they went in to get some of her things, under her bed were dozens of our empty snack packs. So she was having to hide from her legal guardians that she even had food to eat.
Smart young lady.
Yes, very smart.
And, you know, good survival. Again, a lot of sadness, but a lot of hope. There is really a balance. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the effects and some of the examples that you've given us, how food insecurity affects elementary school students, middle school students, high school students. A lot of us don't even think about high school students not having food to eat on the weekends. We'll be back with Holly Slade. She's the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, and Dave Slade and Associates, and she's one of the co-owners with her husband, Dave. They're sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Serving you and your family.
Locally grown, locally owned. Bosque Heating and Cooling. A portion goes back into the community. 444-7200.
For quality service like a breath of fresh air, call Bosque and we'll be there.
This is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Most people have never memorized their vehicle's repair manual, let alone even read the small owner's manual in their glove box. Not to worry. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians and staff will guide you through all the ins and outs of vehicle repair and maintenance. Whether it is a car, truck, or SUV, we're here to help you maintain your investment. We are located at 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And don't forget, we have free towing to our facility with repairs. Just call for details. With all that being said, there is an owner's manual that you do need to read and memorize. Yes, it's God's written word. In it, you find God's design and purpose for your life and how he made a way of salvation so that you and I may have eternal life with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Remember what David said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin." sin against you. This is John Chitwood.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Here's Rob West with a Money Wise Minute.
Did you know God has a plan for your life? Ephesians 2:10 makes that pretty clear. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand. Think about that. God made each and every one of us with unique skills and desires to do good works according to His plan. If you're not sure what that is, pray to God to make His will known to you. Your calling could be a secular job or full-time Christian service. You could be a stay-at-home missionary or one sent to a foreign country. Or you could witness for Christ in the marketplace. No matter where or what your job is, the key is to do your work as if you're serving Christ, because you are.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KNKT and our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book. 342-8100, or you can reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Coincidentally, Holly Slade, founder of Feed New Mexico Kids and partner in Dave Slade and Associates, sitting right in front of me. Holly, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. That worked out well, didn't it?
Yeah, what do you think?
I like it.
Well, I like it because you've sponsored a program for a long time. It gives me the personal opportunity to say, thank you, how much we appreciate that. And I think our listeners are responding, at least I hope they are, because there is a correlation between being successful in business and mm-hmm. being able to give back to the community. And yeah. So many times we've talked a lot about Feed New Mexico Kids. Sometimes people think, oh, well, maybe Holly's not selling homes anymore. But it's very important that you are selling homes and listing yes. homes, because that allows you to do a lot of the ministry things that you
right.
do. So I want to talk a little bit about, this is really kind of heart-wrenching to think about elementary school students, middle school students, high school students that are food insecure. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some examples from your experience of how that food insecurity affects people at different ages?
Yeah. I think sometimes all the attention goes to what I call the littles. And I'll call the littles, you know, the pre-K and the elementary, because we just can't imagine little children being hungry. And so, you know, we had this one little guy at Reginald Chavez Elementary that was a third grader, just with full of tenacity, wonderful little guy, who was caring for three younger siblings because of his parents' situation. And just the most amazing little guy, would wear a little white shirt to school and his little glasses and just wonderful kid. And yet he had this burden to take care of his three younger siblings. And so we gave him snack packs as well as snack packs for his younger siblings. And one week they had cookies in them. And he was so excited because it was his kindergarten sister's birthday. And he didn't know how he was going to have a party for her. So there's stories like that, like the little girl we just talked about who was intentionally being starved. The cafeteria workers will tell us that, you know, there'll be students that come in Monday morning, you know, just ravenous. Are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? And they'll ask, sweetheart, when was the last time you ate? And they'll think, and one little guy said, well, my grandpa gave me some Cheez-Its yesterday. And so they come in and there's almost like an ADHD component. They can't focus. Their stomachs hurt. They have headaches, all that type of thing. Then when we go up to mid, high, and high school, the statistic that people really need to understand is that a hungry teen is 5 times as likely to commit suicide. Mm. And I just don't think that that has sunk in all the way. As we think about teenage anxiety and teenage depression, and then you add hunger in it, and they are five times as likely to commit suicide. Mm. So just think, you might not be able to take away or do anything about their other life circumstances, but do you realize by giving them a snack pack, you might reduce their suicide risk fivefold? I mean, can you think of any? I can't name one other thing that we can do for those teenagers to reduce a suicide risk fivefold. Mm. So that's partly why I'm so passionate about it for the mid-high and the high school students as well. There's a shame factor associated when teenagers are hungry. They don't want their peers to know. Little kids will tell you, I'm hungry. Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? I don't have anything to eat. They will just tell you their need. Teenagers won't. Teenagers will hide it. They don't want their friends to know. They don't want people to think their parents can't afford it. They just have all kinds of things going on in their mind that have to do with peer pressure, where they will hide hunger from their teachers. They'll hide it from school officials. They'll hide it from their peers. And I think that that's one thing that's unique about this snack pack is there are backpack programs. But the food is in a separate additional backpack. So now you're the kid carrying two backpacks home on Friday, bringing two back on Monday. Everybody knows, your friends start teasing you, and then the teenager decides to just be hungry instead of go through the ridicule from their peers. So our snack packs are in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag on purpose. It's so that it can be discreetly placed in somebody's backpack and nobody around them knows that they've got extra food in their backpack. Mm-hmm. Because that is just important in a teenager's world. So that's why we do it the way that we do. And our food actually runs the gamut and has appeal across the age groups because we've worked with the food over the years. You know, we got the list originally from APS. Used to be called the APS Homeless Project. It's not called that anymore. It's called, I believe, the McKinney Vento Department. And, you know, it included things like Vienna sausage. Well, we learned the little kids like Vienna sausage, but the big kids don't. So we changed it up. So now our snack packs have a flip-top can of beef ravioli. Sometimes they have beef or turkey jerky in them. Sometimes they have a flavored tuna pouch. But then they'll have a single-serve mac and cheese, a pudding cup, an applesauce squeeze. They have cheese or peanut butter crackers. We have a protein bar and a cereal bar. We have ramen noodles just as a belly filler. And then we have packaged nuts. We have packaged trail mix. And then we have a fruit snack and an oatmeal packet. And if we think about the homeless students, so PED, Public Education Department, just released, I think last week in the paper, in New Mexico, there are just over 6,600 homeless students in the state. Mm. Okay, so a lot of those are teenagers. Some of them are littles, but the littles are usually in a shelter, living with in a car with a guardian. They're not truly independent on their own, but the teenagers are. And so they can take the single-serve mac and cheese and go into like a Circle K or a gas station and get hot water as long as they have their own container. But if they don't have a container, then they have to have money for a cup. And so they'll go into the gas station and get hot water and have their macaroni and cheese. And they might stay there and eat it there and just lick out the container and then make the oatmeal in that container. Or they might, you know, they really do just lick out the container and lick their spoon and keep it maybe until the next day. They get very strategic about how they budget the food. They kind of know what they're having for breakfast and what they're having for lunch and what they're having for dinner. Out of the snack pack. And so every snack pack is easy open, eat on the spot. A kindergartner can feed themselves out of the snack pack, and a high schooler doesn't feel like they're eating toddler food. So, you know, it's really very strategic ingredients.
I can't help but think about our listeners as they're hearing you talk about this, because most of us don't think about having a macaroni pack that you bought at Kraft macaroni and cheese, those little single serving things, put a little hot water on them, mix them up, and you can eat them. A lot of the kids aren't even putting hot water in. They're just kind of mixing some water and making it mm-hmm. pliable so they, right. they can eat it. And then you're talking about them kind of with their finger or their tongue, you know, wiping it out and then putting oatmeal in there and mm-hmm. then making another meal. Well, that's obviously an illustration that a lot of us don't think about. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we're worried about, gee, where are we going to have lunch today? Where are we going to dinner? And so let's go to giving. Let's talk about, there's ways you can give to Feed New Mexico Kids. And I want you to talk about the efficiencies of those dollars, because $5 a month will provide a snack pack.
Mm-hmm. Actually, less than five.
What would $20 a month giving do?
So $20 a month, let's just round it to five snack packs a month. You know, our snack pack cost really runs about $3.82, sometimes $3.47. It all depends on food costs. So if I'm, you know, being overly generous, let's just call it $4 a snack pack. And that's one child once a week. So for $16, you can feed one child a snack pack every weekend, $16 a month. And I think a lot of folks who are within listening range of this don't even think about where $16 a month might go. You know, it's the difference between, you know, did you go to Starbucks or did you not go to Starbucks? And did
for you, 3 days.
Yeah. And
not a month.
Right. Yeah. It has more to do with single meal choices or single coffee purchase choices on a weekly basis. And that would add up,
sure,
you know, to the, $16 a month. The most efficient way, honestly, to give is to our website, because as I mentioned, you know, traditional food banks, you get just a disproportionate amount of food. So when we first started, we were taking food donations only, and we got tons of ramen and tons of granola bars and almost no ravioli and no mac and cheese, because there's a cost differential. And so obviously I think the same way, economies of scale, right? If I know a child is hungry, I want the most food units for the dollar that I'm spending. But then on the other side of it, now that I'm creating snack packs, you know, really the cornerstone of our snack pack is the ravioli and the mac and cheese. And if those two things are missing, it's, you know, an inferior snack pack. And so we actually shop, we order from Sam's Club every single week. We spend between $5,000 and $6,000 a week. And I have this amazing group of volunteers. You know, you're saying it's important that people know I still sell real estate. Honestly, Feed New Mexico Kids could probably run without me right now because the volunteers are so amazing. There are 50 volunteers who run it, and there's a volunteer leadership team that is unbelievable. I mean, these volunteers are more dedicated to their volunteer position than a lot of people are to their paying job. Mm. You know, this food has to be purchased every single week, 52 weeks a year. And these five gentlemen show up with their pickup trucks every single week, and they get that food on their pickup trucks and they drive it over to our warehouse and they get it inventoried and they get it put away. Then the packing teams come in every single Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We have a lady who handles all of the food inventorying and ordering. One lady, volunteer. Mm. I mean, you just can't fathom what goes on. There's no way I could run it. And ironically, they could all run it without me.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting to see what the ministry is doing. Holly Slade, the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids, in studio with me. She's also a businesswoman with Dave Slade and Associates Realtors. Her and her husband Dave own the company, and she'll be happy to provide real estate services for you. And we're going to talk in our next segment about how businesses and how churches and other organizations, even individuals, can call you up, find out how they can help, and you'll tell them how to do it.
Absolutely.
We'll be back with Holly Slade right after this.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have any feathered dinosaurs been found?
Chris, this is a popular evolutionary story, but it's quite controversial. Some do seem to have a frayed neck fringe, but these are not feathers. Many experts consider them to be just the decayed remnants of dinosaur skin. Dinosaurs were evidently reptilian, very, very different from birds. It's not just the bones and the skin, but the organs and the physiology, the birthing schemes, and everything. You can't change one into another just by saying so. Biblically, reptiles didn't change into birds. Land animals were created on day 6 of creation week and birds on day 5, backwards from the evolutionary scenario. Birds have always been birds, and reptiles have always been reptiles. And they've been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You know Proverbs 31, the go-to passage that describes the ideal Christian woman and wife. But let's be honest, that ideal can be as intimidating as it is inspiring. Here's Skip Heitzig with more.
Can I just tell you, it's exhausting to just read that, let alone how on earth, women, could you ever do that? Well, let me say, first of all, you can't do that in a day. He's not giving the 24-hour description of the virtuous wife. This is a woman over time.
Get to know some of the most incredible women in the Bible and in history with two inspiring resources. A six-message CD collection from Pastor Skip on prominent women in Scripture, plus the book Seven Women by best-selling author Eric Metaxas. This bundle is our thanks when you give $35 or more to help expand the Bible teaching outreach of Skip Heitzig.
Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised.
Call now to request these captivating resources as our thanks for your generous gift. 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or you can reach them on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Holly Slade with Dave Slade and Associates and the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids in studio. Holly, let's get right to, you just got the kids back in school. You were anticipating a big boom. You had to pack a bunch of, and now summer's coming up. Mm-hmm. How are you planning to take care of kids on the weekends over the summer?
So prior to COVID, we did the K through 5 plus program in partnership with APS. That program is not running this summer. So what we did during COVID was we overlapped the grab-and-go lunch sites, but we reached out to the community. And so what we found was by reaching directly out to the community where kids still were, we accessed a lot of kids that we were not accessing through the school system. So we partnered with HUD Housing. There are several community centers, Boys and Girls Clubs, that type of thing. Most of our population... I'm going to say we find somehow, you know, the Lord just does what the Lord does. And, you know, there was even somebody who was helping pack out the pass out our snack packs from a flower store. Mm. So word is out in the community and everybody knows that our volunteers will take the snack packs anywhere. We just have to have a responsible adult in the mix because I think you probably heard me mention there are several peanut products in the snack pack. So we can't just, you know, go around the street like an ice cream truck and start handing them out because we have no idea if a child has a peanut allergy. Interestingly enough, we have had little to no feedback about any of the recipients having peanut allergies. But we do have to have a responsible adult in the mix somewhere if we're giving them out to little people. And so that's why we work through HUD or a Boys and Girls Club or a community center or a church, somebody that where there's an adult between the snack pack and the child, not necessarily the guardian or the parent, but an adult that knows if this child has food allergies.
Let's say you're a pastor of a church, or you're somehow involved in the leadership, women's ministry, men's ministry, and you're hearing this program. This is actually what happened with Dustin King at Legacy Church.
Yes.
And he went to the leadership of the church. Tell me what you do to help churches set this up. Are you... like sharing money or whatever?
No. I call it ministry in a box, honestly. So we've got the logo, we've got the food list, we've got the processes. One of our churches that we partnered with is smaller, and Wanda Golson is this brilliant woman up there who her church had a smaller population and they needed a way to pack fewer snack packs at a time. She came up with a sign-up sheet that by the time everybody signs up for the appropriate food, they create 25 snack packs per sheet. And so that's the way her church launched. And she said, well, I don't know if we can do more than 25 snack packs. You know, let's see. They're now serving 4 schools in Rio Rancho. Wow. And this is not a mega fellowship by any means, but these people are so community focused. It's United Methodist up in Rio Rancho, and they are so community focused, and they take such good care of the kids in their community, and they develop the system. So then Wanda gives the system back to me, and I am able to share it with other churches. So from small churches who really a sign up sheet is what is needed, to mega churches that have websites and can handle financial donations in order to balance out the food that's donated. We've really got sort of a system for each of them. We even have one church in town where their volunteer base is not really able to shop for the food or do the snack packs. So that church actually donates money to the Feed New Mexico Kids website. We do the shopping. We pack the snack packs. They come and get them. They take them down into the far south valley right before you get to the Isleta Pueblo. They deliver them down there, and they develop the relationship with the community down there because that's where their church is. Mm. So it just runs the gamut. So like I said, it's ministry in a box. We've got all of the tools that a church needs to launch it. And then in general, I go on their launch weekend, and it all depends if they want to have a pulpit announcement or they just want me out at the information table. In general, in a mega church setting, you know, there's a pastor designated to do their announcements, and so that person does it. And then I'm out at the information table with their volunteers. That's the way Dustin and I did it over at Legacy. In smaller churches, they kind of like to have guests come in. And so I have presented from, you know, pulpit announcements, not like I'm teaching, you know, but pulpit announcements. I'll do that, and then I stay and answer questions. And I've gone to churches 2 and 3 weeks in a row to make sure everybody, you know, not everybody can go every Sunday. And so we'll go and answer questions for you.
Let's say you're a business owner, 7 or 8 employees. You're located in a neighborhood. There's a couple of schools around. You see kids walking to and fro from school. You might even notice some kids that mm-hmm. aren't looking very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help?
So either by doing food donations at your workplace or by donating financially to the website. So, for instance, Discount Tire, 2 years in a row now, has had a competition between all their stores. And we developed, during COVID, we developed a point system for food versus money. And so they have a competition between all their stores. We have a start date and an end date, and which store can collect the most food and or money for Feed New Mexico Kids. And then Target just recently had their outreach event where they got $4,000 worth of food and donated it to Feed New Mexico Kids. So, and then Home Depot just donated 280 cardboard boxes. So businesses can kind of get creative depending on what their business is and how they can come alongside us. And it can be food. You can have a team event. You can have competitions between stores. You can have just your store does the shopping because you have a budget, you know, for giving each year. Or you can say, hey, we're Home Depot. These are boxes. We have, you know, a corporate allocation. We're able to do this and donate something, you know, useful. We use Ziploc bags. We use all kinds of food from grocery stores. If you're a manager at Albertsons, we can use gift cards. We can use gift cards from any store almost has at least some kind of food that we're using.
Very nice. Tell me how you interface with school districts. Of course, Albuquerque Public Schools being the monster of the group in mm-hmm. New Mexico, but you also interface with law enforcement and other agencies.
Yes. So prior to COVID, we had food donation spots at all of the ABQ substations where those have not officially opened up yet, but somebody did pack a lot of snack packs and drop it off at one of the APD substations for us. And they called us and we went right over and got them. So we're looking forward to that opening up again so that people have an area in their community to drop food if that's easier for them. If they want to drop food currently, Calvary on Osuna accepts food, and Legacy at their main campus over off of Coors accepts food as well. But until we get that APD substation up and going again, those are the two physical places to drop food.
And you have had some APD officers have snack packs available in their vehicles.
We did do that for a while. They had the snack packs with them in their vehicles, because when they would go on calls, they would sometimes come into really difficult situations. You know, maybe a parent OD'd on the floor and a 3- and 5-year-old sitting there on the sofa afraid and hungry and no food in the house. And so as they, you know, are calling Health and Human Services and doing all those things that they need to do, at least they've got some ready-to-eat snacks in the car available for those kids.
There's so much publicity about things that police officers are involved in that are not pleasant. But you and I know that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of interactions with the public where the police officers are just like us. They're trying to help the people that they're interfacing with.
Oh, yeah.
And their heart is just to love on people and care for people. Now, they have to protect their lives. I don't want to get in a debate about, you know, things that are really, really scary. But the truth is that they face life-threatening situations all the time. And we don't know how much of themselves they're always giving every day. So I just brought that up because I want to say thank you to our police officers. I believe that the vast majority of them are great people, great human beings. They're serving because it's like God's put that call, just like God's put a call on Holly Slade to make sure our kids get to eat. We are visiting with Holly Slade. She's the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids. She's a frequent guest on our program, but I'm always just encouraged every time you come on the program to talk about this. We're going to come back and touch on a couple of real estate things, and then maybe the last 10 minutes of the program we'll talk about some more details about Feed New Mexico Kids. We'll be right back.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things, about life and relationship with God. Life doesn't always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KNKT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. And now, KNKT presents a Bible School of the Air. Each Saturday, starting at 9 a.m., KNKT will present Through the Bible, verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith and Chuck Missler. Skip Heitzig, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We'll be rotating through the Old and New Testament, so drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KNKT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Take your seat Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 107.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the British Radio. In Egypt, Christian women faced discrimination for both their faith and gender. Education for women is severely limited, and anyone leaving the Muslim faith risks rejection from family and the community at large. To address these needs, three formerly Muslim women organized an underground Bible school for Christian women. And in the past year alone, the school has grown to several thousand students simply by word of mouth. Some of the women haven't yet told their families of their faith in Christ, fearing rejection or abandonment. Pray God gives wisdom and courage to these new believers as they continue their studies and grow in faith.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence.
Nor will I let them serve alone.
To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians,
go to vomradio.net.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly Slade with Dave Slade and Associates Realtors and the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids in studio. Holly, your jingle at Dave Slade and Associates is doing business by the book.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
You know, really it comes down to treating other people the way that we would want to be treated, really, and putting their interests before ours. You know, love your neighbor more than you love yourself. And my mantra has always been, I take care of people and God takes care of me. Mm-hmm. You know, when I go on an appointment, I'm not calculating commission or anything like that. I'm going on an appointment to sit down, visit with a family, and find out what is in their best interest. Sometimes on a listing appointment, I have to tell people that it's in their best interest to not sell their home. That really, when I crunch the numbers, when I listen to their story, listen to their circumstance, the best answer is to not sell, and let's try and figure out another solution for what the issue at hand is. You know, I've even gone on appointments where I have staged people's homes, and then they fall in love with their home, and they call me, and they feel terrible. They're sheepish and guilty. We're so sorry. We don't want to sell our home anymore. It doesn't happen very often, but, you know, if that's what happens, that's great. What a beautiful thing that people fall in love with their home all over again. And so really it is just about taking care of people. A lot of times people will qualify for a price of a home that is a monthly payment that will not be comfortable for them. And so, you know, they'll visit with a lender and they'll get their pre-qual letter and it's this number, you know, and I'll visit with them and say, so tell me what you're currently paying in rent. Okay. Mm. Now tell me how much savings you're putting away each month. And they're not. And the reason they're not is because they're having life experiences, not because they're being irresponsible. But they're in that phase and stage, either pre-kids or empty nesters, and they're traveling, they're doing athletic things, they're going out and they're doing adventuring. And so when I say, okay, if we go with what this number here that you actually qualify for, here's what that monthly payment looks like, what does that do to your adventuring? So, you know, yes, you qualify for this ceiling, but maybe we want to do ceiling minus 50 grand and get you into something where you can still enjoy your life and not just be anchored to this new home. You know, I never want to put people in a situation where they're house poor. At the same time, when interest rates are low, if you have a growing family, that is the time to get as much home as you can for your dollar. You know, if you have a growing family, then probably a two-bedroom home is not going to work out real well for you. So let's think about that third or fourth bedroom. So it really is just so individual, and it's, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the people.
Well, you've had to be creative, too, because you have the ability, which I do not have, by the way, to look at a home that really needs a lot of repairs. And you can, first of all, I know how to tell if something has good bones.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
Is it built well? But I have no decorating ability. I have no sense of what the color should be. I don't know what the flooring and all. But you can visualize that for somebody and help them make a good investment.
I can. And, you know, it's fun to do because not everybody has that skill set, you know. And so I'm very familiar with it. So I can, my husband teases me that I've never met a wall that couldn't be moved. So sometimes there is a home where everything is right except this one little thing. And, you know, there are solutions to that one little thing. Now, moving walls and adding bedrooms and that kind of thing, that's expensive. But sometimes people need a unique situation. They need an in-law situation. They really want to be in a certain part of town. And there is simply nothing on the market that is going to match what they need. So then we have to start looking at what's available and how do we make what's available into what you need. And so I really enjoy that process as well.
I hope people are not bothered today by me going and contrasting your passion and your success and your focus on business with the fact that you've established a ministry and you've supported that ministry a lot yourself. And then you have a lot of people coming alongside you both as volunteers and making donations. I hope people aren't bothered by the contrast because I think it's important because all of us need to be doing ministry.
Right.
All of us need to be serving each other and care about others more than we care about ourselves.
Right.
Politicians, are you listening? Just... And I'm not kidding. I mean, that's really the truth. Quit worrying about being elected. You said it earlier. You take care of people and God takes care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's true. Do you believe we can end childhood hunger if we work together?
I do. I think that the population in New Mexico is actually at a level where we can get our arms around it. I think it would be a daunting prospect in California or New York, but we are not a densely populated state. We have these metro areas that have wealth, And if the metro areas will kind of figure out their inner circle first, like Albuquerque, we're trying to tackle APS first, and we've got people down in Valencia County, we've got people in Sandoval County. And so if we get that tackled, but what we need is people in the outlying counties to raise their hand and say, hey, I'll take care of this out in, you know, Cuba, or I'll take care of this down in Berlin, or I'll take care of this, you know, I'll spearhead it down in Las Cruces. We need regional people, because I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and this is where I work and where I practice real estate. So we just need regional people, and that's exactly what happened down in Valencia County. Nikki raised her hand and said, I'll take care of it down here in Valencia County. Wanda raised her hand up in Rio Rancho and said, let me get started up here. Dustin raised his hand over at Legacy Church and said, let me spearhead it over here at Legacy. So really, it's I don't have the time to go recruit people. And so it's people generally within the listening ears of this radio show, or they know somebody who's volunteering for us, or they know somebody at one of the other churches, and word spreads, word of mouth, and they say, you know, I've got the margin, or I've got the passion to take that on. Because in the case of Dustin, Nikki, and myself, we all had full-time jobs. We weren't sitting around eating bonbons, just, you know, waiting for something to happen. And, you know, Wanda and Pam Lemke are busy women too. And so it's generally the people who know how to get things done that will raise their hand and say, I have a passion for this. You know, I haven't been able to let go of the thought. And I think that there's something that I need to do about it. When Dustin heard about it, he was actually working in the web and graphic department at his church. Mm. You know, so it doesn't have to be, well, surely the outreach pastor knows this is going on, or surely the children's ministry knows this is going on, or surely the people who can do something about this know what's going on. I would say if you're hearing this message, you might be one of the people that the Lord is tapping on to say, guess what? You know, just like when I first found out about it, and I was like, well, somebody ought to do something about that.
How do people get in touch with you?
So they can call. Zanetta here at Calvary is half of her time basically goes to help feed New Mexico kids. And so I'm going to give her phone number, because she will be actually easier to reach than I am. And that's 505-681-4973. So it's 505-681-4973, or email her at Zanetta, Zanetta, at feednmkids.com. And it's not feednewmexicokids.com. It's feednmkids.com.
Feednmkids.com. That's pretty easy to remember, actually.
Yep.
I want to go to a teacher that has a third grader, and that third grader didn't meet whatever criteria she needed to stick that children into a, quote, program, but she knows about Feed New Mexico Kids, and she can get food to that child as soon as she wants to give food to that child. Mm-hmm. What does that do to a teacher's countenance? Does it encourage them?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because teachers are not going to let that situation exist. They actually end up reaching into their own pocket way too often and bringing food into the classroom. And Dustin may have told you the story about one teacher who reached into her own pocket one too many times, and then she couldn't pay her own rent just because she was trying to feed the children in her classroom. So, you know, Feed New Mexico Kids, you know, over at Legacy found out about her, started serving that school, and it just does so much for a teacher. You know how it is when you know there's a problem and you can't do anything about it, or what you're able to do about it isn't enough. So it frees up both the teacher and the student to focus on what they're supposed to do, you know, teaching the student rather than trying to figure out how to feed the student. You know, let us come alongside the school and take care of that for you, because, you know, we can't teach them. You know, we're not there to teach them. That's what teachers are for, and we're there to come alongside and make sure they have food over the weekend.
I get the sense that none of this is laborious for you. It's hard work, but it's not laborious. How do you do what you do out of love instead of just a service attitude?
I just think the Lord sort of plants that in certain people's heart, you know, because as I mentioned, there's this team of 50 volunteers. And And I look at what they do. Like I said, they can run it without me, but I can't run it without them. I look at what they do, and every single one of them has this passion. Because once you learn about this, I mean, how do you learn that there are hungry children in your community and not care? And so, but people go about their caring differently. Might be financial donations or time and energy. So the Lord will give people the passion, and then we will let them work out that passion. And it's a privilege. It's an honor to be able to do that.
May the Lord bless you, your work in real estate and your work feeding kids, Holly.
Thank you, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.